On November 26, 1922, an archaeological expedition led by British Egyptologist Howard Carter was about to make a discovery that would become history. After weeks of digging in a particular tunnel in the Valley of Kings, they came to a sealed doorway. Carter poked a hole in the door and shined a candle through. And in seconds, the flame of the candle illuminated a room full of gold. The name etched on the sealed doorway was a match, and the archaeologists were ready to celebrate, for they had just discovered the tomb of ancient Egypt's boy pharaoh, King Tutankhamun. In the days that followed, reporters from all over the globe documented the opening of King Tut's tomb. One of them was John L. Balderston, a graduate of Columbia University and writer for the New York World. Balderston would eventually leave his career as a correspondent and become a playwright. After a huge success with a stage adaptation of Bram Stoker's Dracula in 1927, Balderston would move to Hollywood and become a screenwriter. In his first few years, he would draw on his experience with the New York World and craft a story about the curse of an ancient Egyptian mummy. This script would eventually be made as The Mummy in 1932, starring Boris Karloff. Not only would it be one of the crown jewels in the original Universal horror lineup, but it would become its own franchise, which would be rebooted by the studio in the late 1990s and early 2000s to massive success. It's a dark and stormy night. You come out of the forest and you see a light on in the castle up ahead. As you approach, the wooden door opens and you enter. Lifting a candle off the wall, you stalk down the stony, dark staircase. A figure appears at the end of a long tunnel. Is it a vampire? Is it a monster? As you stalk down the staircase, you begin your descent into Universal Horror. The Mummy has always been the most fascinating of the original Universal horror films because it was an original story. As mentioned already, the story was not an adaptation of a classic novel. It came from the imagination of a newspaper writer who happened to be present in the days following the actual discovery and excavation of King Tut's tomb in the Valley of the Kings. For these reasons, I find the film even more interesting than its forebears, Dracula and Frankenstein. Where those films were predictable to anyone who either read the books or even had a basic idea of the story, The Mummy is dramatic and thrilling. It also allowed Universal to flex its production muscles and build sets that would transport the audience to Egypt, both ancient and to the present time of the 1930s. It is also a showcase for the acting and presence of Boris Karloff. Despite its strength of story, The Mummy is certainly a monster movie at heart. Boris Karloff endured even more time in the makeup chair than was required for Frankenstein in order for him to look the part of a 3,000-year-old mummy. Karloff would later be frustrated when he saw that director Carl Freund only used about a handful of shots of him in full mummy makeup. Freund would also clash with lead actress Zita Johann, who played Helen Grosvenor, the young woman who Karloff's character believes to be the reincarnation of Princess Ankh-es-en-Amam. Despite Freund's strained relationship with his cast, he did a masterful job at focusing the film on Karloff as Ardeth Bey, an Egyptian man who is actually Imhotep, the cursed mummy who has taken on a human form. Even in far less makeup, Karloff is no less terrifying as he stalks the streets of Cairo and the halls of the Cairo Museum, desperately trying to reincarnate the spirit of his lost love. It wasn't just his presence that made this a great role for Karloff, but it was his gravelly voice that carried the film. Unlike in Frankenstein, where he was only asked to grunt and growl, or even Bride of Frankenstein, where he graduated to sentence fragments. In The Mummy, Karloff delivers great lines, even a few monologues, as he kneels in the museum, reading the ancient scrolls, or poring over his dark pool that produces visions of the past. If Frankenstein made Boris Karloff a star, then it was The Mummy that solidified his status as one of Hollywood's major box office draws. Boris Karloff would only play The Mummy once, but the character would live on in many sequels, following in the footsteps of Dracula and Frankenstein, and becoming its own franchise. But unlike the other two films, Universal would bring The Mummy back in 1999, with Brendan Fraser and Rachel Weisz in starring roles. The film would be a massive success for the studio, ending up as a trilogy with The Mummy Returns in 2001 and The Mummy Tomb of the Dragon Emperor in 2008. As for Universal Horror, The Mummy would signal the end of its first wave of horror films. The studio would start their second wave in the 40s and 50s with classics like The Wolfman and Creature from the Black Lagoon. After focusing on more science fiction-based stories in the 50s, Universal Horror would run out of steam and focus on different genres, putting horror on the back burner. However, the die was cast, and horror would now become quite possibly the most popular genre in all film. Everything that followed was standing on the shoulders of Universal Horror. And as we'll talk about in our next and final episode, some of the greatest modern horror films all take direction from the original Universal Three: Dracula, Frankenstein, and The Mummy.